The Wait Is Over. We are back for the 228th time. Don't nobody be coming up and be like, what's your show about? What is this thing? Because I heard in the media that you all kinds of this and that. It's like, you know, I you should condense what we do here in a 30-second soundbite that you probably ain't going to believe anyway because you're foolish enough to believe the media. We got 228 hours of just the Parish of the Patriots. Go to Radio Albion, tune in. Come here to Radio Albion, tune in. 228, you can find out what the show's about for yourself. Welcome, all members of the congregation. Guess anybody who's shown up out of the blue. If you're a new listener, I'm excited to have you here. I'm hoping the show won't suck and you'll want to come back again in the future and become a return member of the congregation. We got longtime listeners who've been listening to this through 228 plus hours of this show, so that we must be on to something. If you are a new listener, we do have a Christian-specific segment. You see, the name is more than just a name. We do have a Christian-specific segment. That's roughly in the halfway mark of the show. If you were to go back and say, if you like listen to the show, like, hey, that wasn't too bad. I'm going to go back and listen to this other stuff. You know, you figure out real quick when I say roughly the halfway mark of the show. Sometimes it's way earlier. Sometimes it's a little later. But that's the way it works out. So be sure and tune in. Even if you're a non-believer, I've had more than a few people that are like, well, I'm not really a Christian believer, but I still listen to it. I think it's pretty interesting. So I do encourage you to listen into that. We continue to have our links up. Sven has been moved to a different prison. If you haven't caught that on any of the other shows, it's very important. We got it down there, the big red note with the address now. He's in a different prison, and I think just looking at the website, it looks like a better facility. So as to speak, if you sign up for the email a prisoner program, he will get these emails in a pretty timely manner. If you want to do that, some people aren't comfortable doing that. It's whatever. But if you're sending your snail mail, there is a different address. I'm sure if you're still sending stuff to Swansea, I'm sure it's going to get forwarded to him. But understand, if you're like, man, you know, he hasn't gotten it yet. Well, he eventually will. And also understand with your snail mail letters, and I didn't realize this, if you missed last week's show, we did have letters from Longshanks. So be sure and check that out. But I did not myself realize that he's allowed to write two letters per week. And it's understandable, because if they didn't do that, you know, prisoner inmates could sit there and game the system and bog staff down by writing 500 silly letters just so the staff, because the staff have to read them before they send them out. You know, they can't have somebody like a hardened criminal. They send in out a letter. They send out a letter saying, you know, I don't know, go put out a hit on this other gang member. I want you to go kill this rival gang member or something. They can't have that. They got to read through the letters. So if they didn't limit the inmates to two letters a week, then they could just sit there and write 500 letters and there you go. The staff would spend all their time going through letters. So that's understandable. But if you don't hear anything, or you don't hear anything back in a timely manner, that's why. But there is a new address. That's important. Also, of course, we continue to have our support links. If you want to support Sven, that stuff's there. If you get something out of this show, I know y'all get tired, and I try not to spend, I try to spend as little time on it as possible. I understand. The show is free. I don't have better content behind a paywall. I don't have a Patreon. I can't write books for crap. I've tried it. I didn't write articles, and that's how long my attention span. I try to make things, I try to make my points in the most concise, short manner, and every time I thought I would write a book, I wound up like a really long article, and I've made my point, and now I'm just trying to drag it out. So I can't write books like Dr. Johnson can. I don't have any of that stuff. But if you do get something out of the show, don't be shy. I pay those tithes. I pass the plate around. If you look at our description page for each show here on Radio Album, for this show, for the Parish of the Patriots, I got snail mail, got Bitcoin, Monero, got email, drop your notes. If you got a different cryptocurrency, don't be shy. I can get you a wallet address for that, and I'm not too proud to take your altcoins. Do be aware, at the very, very bottom of the page, there's a couple addresses there that say we're able to accept donations at this Bitcoin and this, I think it's an Ethereum address. Those were put there by Sven before he went to jail. And I mean, if you have sent or whatever reason you decide to use those, fine, that'll be there for him when he gets out. But obviously he can't access those till now. So, you know, until he gets out. So, you know, it'd probably be best to kind of send some support to him like that. But anyway, all of that is out of the way. I'm looking at, we're 4 minutes into the show. I've done the intro, and we've gotten past the passing the offering plate around. If you get something out of the show, help a brother out, man. I'm telling you, it's real talk for just a second before we move on, getting the listener supporter mailbag. You know, I can do this, and I do love doing this. I can do this, or I can go get a regular job, but I can't do both. And I mean, I'm not whining in any way, shape, or form. I'm not sitting there like shaking the cup harder. I'm just explaining. I can do this or get a regular job, but I can't do both. If I do both, all they're going to do is turn back around and harass the employer and get me fired. I'm back at square one. I've wasted an employer's time and I've wasted my time. I can do one or the other. I choose of myself. I choose to do this. I make a lot more money doing a regular job, but I chose to do this. And again, that's I'm not guilt tripping y'all. I'm just explaining that, you know, this is why I do what I do. You know, it's a one or the other thing. Beyond this, I just got to hustle. You got to respect the grind. I got to hustle and do what I got to do. Try to make a few bucks here and there to supplement what goes in the plate. It's your big part. Making through my day and day. Let's get in the listener supporter mailbag before it turns into one of those times when you show up to church, a regular church, and you roll in your eyes because you realize it's going to be a 30-minute sermon on how you ought to support the new building project. We don't do that here. Hey Dan, it's quite disheartening that Sven is in prison now because he was doing a lot of good work with the network, which I benefited from over the years, and undoubtedly many others have as well. I remember listening to his Truth Will Out radio podcast with Dennis maybe 6-7 years ago when I was first learning about World War II. It's hard to believe he's been working practically nonstop since then and probably before as well, and doing so well. Time flies. It's good to see that RA is still up and running, though. Even if it's missing the main man, keep it up, your brother in Christ, Michael. Thank you very much. Of course, I do have to remember, I remind y'all, you know, I do sometimes edit your letters down. And everybody knows this. They're longtime members of the congregation. But if you knew and you send something, it'll be like, you didn't read the whole thing. Well, A, if there's stuff in there that could be tied back to you personally, like a personal identifier, I'm going to edit that out. And a lot of times I just edit things down for time's sake. You're talking about listening to Sven and Dennis Wise, Truth Wild Radio. Interesting thing here. And this is a white pill. And of course, I've known Sven for umpteen years. And you're right, he's just done just immense amount of work. And you look at the years and how the network has grown. And I don't necessarily mean grown, like gotten a bigger audience. I mean grown as it becoming, what do I want to say? More sophisticated, more intelligent. Does that make any sense? More professional? I've been around Sven and ran around Radio Albin for a long time. And, you know, it's been a work in progress. And it's gotten so much better, so much more better at communicating ideas and communicating thoughts. I hope that makes sense. It's gone beyond just being entertaining. And that's something I believe Sven can be really, really proud of. But you're talking about Truth About Radio. I read a lot of different kind of opinion articles on a lot of different kind of websites. A lot of them very, very normie tier. And I've seen something, and this is encouraging to me. I have seen now much more, shall we say, mainstream. They're much more, not necessarily mainstream, but much more considered mainstream than we are. And again, I hate to say it that way, because really the things we say here at Radio Albion, they should be mainstream. I mean, we're not promoting some weird terrorism ideology gibberish here. We're just talking the truth. We speak the truth. Sven Longshanks is in prison for speaking the truth, as far as I'm concerned. But I read these other articles I've been reading, and I'm seeing more and more opinion maker, opinion givers on much more, shall we say, normie tier sites. And they're talking about World War II revisionism. I'm seeing, you know, I'm coming across more and more articles that are like, well, you know, actually, Hitler didn't have any kind of plans to conquer the world. Well, you know, actually, the reason, you know, Germany's in push towards the Soviet Union was so successful at first is because the Soviet Union had everything positioned to attack Europe. They were on an offensive footing. In other words, I'm reading more and more of these articles that are getting into World War II revisionism. In other words, what really happened? Actual World War II history. Now, of course, obviously you don't read this and you're not like, oh, wow, yeah, I've never heard that before. I mean, we've been talking about this for years, but that's just the point. Just a few short years ago, there wasn't anybody talking about it, except for the likes of us, like Sven Longshanks and Dennis. There was just a very fringe amount of people that were talking about actual World War II history. I still think the greatest story never told is probably one of the hands down best documentaries ever made. And of course, it got banned everywhere, but it's still one of the best documentaries. And it's factual, it's truthful, it's not propaganda. It's just talking about actual World War II history versus this ridiculous propaganda we get now. And I think it says something that now you've got people more in the mainstream, more easily able to speak in, shall we say, polite company. They're talking about the same things. It's easy to feel like, well, we speak the truth here, and what does it get us? But it is filtering down. It is filtering out, I think, to a certain extent. I just think it's amazing that there's more and more people now that are willing to come out and say, you know, talking about practical elements of World War II outside of this, like I say, the ridiculous Western propaganda regarding it. And that's good. Of course, they don't give us any credit for it. And that's whatever. What's important is the truth. And the more people that are hearing the truth, that's what matters. Truth is a credible, powerful thing. Like I say, in my personal opinion, I think Sven Longshanks is in prison for speaking the truth. That's my opinion. That tells you how, and it's not like, look, I'm real proud. Now that I'm posting shows, I see the numbers and stuff. And I'm proud of the audience we have. I'm proud of all of y'all that come here to listen to the great content. We're going to be honest here. We don't reach a massive, massive audience. I mean, we just don't. I'm just being real with y'all here. And that tells you how powerful the truth is. We're not reaching, you know, 6 million people a day. We're just not. We don't have a massive audience. We're proud of the audience we have. But they still put him in jail for speaking the truth. That tells you how powerful the truth is. It does. It tells you how much they fear. They fear the truth. Grandpa, great show as always, and great job keeping the Daily Nationalist going. I've been enjoying the content. That's from Andy. Thank you, Andy. And the Daily Nationalist, and I had to go back and say, we're keeping something up Monday through Friday. I'm doing the Monday Daily Nationalist as well as Friday Daily Nationalist, which I was doing the Friday before with Sven. Now it's solo. And I've struggled with it. And I appreciate y'all who've been tuning in, continue to tune in. Because, look, it's been a work in progress. Reading news articles and having it come out in more or less the right amount of time and doing that format is not something I've really done. Yes, I've done the Friday Daily Nationalist with Sven for years, but that's different. That's Sven going through the articles and speaking about it, and then I chime in with my 2 cents for whatever that's worth. It's really been a learning curve for me. I think I'm getting better at it, if I do say so myself. Dr. Johnson has continued to do the Thursday Daily Nationalist. Again, I'm sure it's been a learning curve for him as well, because he's done that with Sven for so many years, and now he's having to do that solo. And as somebody who's been doing the Monday and Friday one, I get that this is a transition, so appreciate what Matt's been doing there. And, of course, this show on Tuesdays, Orthodox Nationalists on Wednesday, that rounds out our Monday through Friday week. I'm sorry, I'm working weekends, but I do work weekends because that's when I record. It's when I record the show. But anyway, I do appreciate y'all sticking in with the Daily Nationalist content. I do think it's getting better. I am still working on that, so do bear with me. Dear Dan, I'm a longtime listener, and I can't thank you enough for your wisdom and humor. You're a voice in the wilderness, and the way you soldier on through your cancer battle was a witness to us all. I go to church with my neighbors, who are mostly Baptists. They're sweet folk, but are mainly just waiting for the rapture. Don't get me started. I'll get started here in a little bit. It's odd that they hate all the right things, but can't accept who is behind the poison. I try ever so gently to enlighten them. But alas, they simply can't compute. I've always been a pessimist, but even I could never have imagined we would get to where we are. Hey, maybe the rapture wouldn't be such a bad thing. Keep punching. And that's from John. I do very much appreciate it, John. And you know, it's hard. We're going to get into the rapture. We can touch on the rapture a little bit in the Christian specific segment because it's stupid. We're going to do some end times talking in the Christian specific segment here a little bit. It's bound to be entertaining. No, the rapture ain't real. I understand. And you can. You're right. I can kind of understand where they're coming from. You know, Jesus is going to show up and they're going to get, they're going to have to put up with it anymore. But that's a trap. That's a trap people get caught up in, and it encourages them. Sit around, wait for Jesus to show up and do something. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. GPD, how's France been doing? They talk about how bad the Nazi occupation was, but buildings weren't burning either. Lol. And that's from Triangle Whip. Also, I'll pass along the financial support for Sven that you asked me to. I will take care of that. You know, and like I say, it's interesting. I think we're going to see more people speaking about that, speaking about things like that. In other words, I am reading, like I said earlier, I'm reading more and more mainstream type people talking about some World War II truths about this. And not like, look, it's just interesting from a historical perspective. You get people that get so obsessed with that. They almost like worship Hitler like a god. You know, look, that's long over. That's history. We're living in the now. We got to create our own future. It's fine to be interested in those things, but you can't get obsessed about it. You know, ain't nobody going to go back and refight World War II. That having been said, I do think the historical understanding and the context of it and all of the different events are very relevant. Backing off of the European theater, if you look and read materials about how Roosevelt manipulated the public to get into World War II on the Japanese front, and all of the different provocations that was going on behind the scenes and to get World War II kicked off, because American people didn't want no part of it. It hadn't been that long since World War I. And the people want to, that's relevant because you're seeing the same kind of stuff going on today. You read something every day. They're pulling some other provocation to kick off World War III. They're never going to come to you. Roosevelt could not have gone to the people. He was going around telling everybody he would never send another American boy to die in European soil. He was a lying sack of doo-doo. They're never going to come to you and say, we're going to do World War III. And we think that we're smart enough that we can do that and maybe not go nuclear. They're going to tell you that because everybody would be like, yeah, no, we don't trust you. We'll look at people like Jake Sullivan and go, yeah, this guy's got things well in hand. Let's trust these guys. They won't get us all obliterated. They ain't going to do that. They're going to try to sell you on all this gibberish. That's why they talk in these weird slogans. It amazes me. I read these articles. And they're supposed to be serious articles. And these people literally talk in these slogans. Their democracy, rights, and values of who we are as a people in a international rules-based order. They actually talk like that. And I was thinking about this. I got one more note here, and I'll get to it here in just a minute. But I was thinking about this the other day. I read an article where they were spewing this gibberish out. And it was just, they do just spit these slogans out. And I was thinking about this. And this is, I think the people that do this, by and large, people like Jake Sullivan and all of these different White House people that you see, people making these decisions, because Biden's not making any decisions. That's why you see this disconnect with different policies, is because even the media themselves, they always talk about the Biden administration. Foreign governments talk about the Biden administration. Everybody is telling you, everybody's being upfront that Joe Biden isn't making any decisions. People, you do not remember people talking about the Trump administration. They would say Donald Trump is doing this. You know, years before, they'd say Barack Obama is doing this. Now, it is always strictly the Biden administration. But no, this old fool ain't making no decisions. He don't even know where he's at. It's embarrassing. But you listen to these people. And I've come to this realization, because, you know, you kind of always assume when they speak in this gibberish that that's just for the masses to consume. And I got to thinking about this, because you look at what they actually do. By their fruits, you will know them. Biblical knowledge can apply to the, and should apply to the world around you. And you look at these people, and the more you realize how very, very incompetent they all are, I come to realize, because I did, I just have assumed that when you read these gibberish slogans, they're just throwing that out there for the masses. But more and more I'm coming to realize, I think these people actually believe this way. I think they actually, in their brains, think in these ridiculous, abstract, nonsensical terms. I do. I think they believe their own BS. I do. I think they're not that smart. And a lot of this goes back to, you know, you look at the state, and we see, we read any number of articles about the state of the university systems. Well, look, you ain't going to get no job. And I couldn't go apply for one of these idiots' jobs. I could do a better job of it because I understand the world around me in reality, but I'm never going to get hired. For one thing, because I speak the truth. And that's important. They only want other people that know how to regurgitate the lies. But you got to have a college degree. And look, you read these ridiculous stories about what's going on in universities. You understand these aren't free thinkers. This is to cull people out. They go to college. They don't learn to think. They learn to repeat what they are told. And they're told things that fit into the box of the narrative. They graduate college. And this is how you move forward. And then they go up here. Now they're in a position of authority. And all they know how to do is regurgitate this. And they think this makes them smart. When in reality, they're stupid. They're very stupid people. I think they really, their brains actually think in these terms. Like, if you sat down and had a conversation, look, why should the U.S. care about what amounts to a border dispute with the Ukraine, which y'all, let's be honest, y'all were the cause of in the first place? Why'd y'all have to go and work on overthrowing the democratically elected government in Ukraine in 2014? Y'all obviously did that on purpose. Why'd you do that? I think they would sit there in the most earnest voice they could. I'm sorry, I hit my mic. In the most earnest voice they could. And they would tell you, because it's our values and our democracy and who we are as a part of an international rules-based order. And probably actually believe that nonsense. I think that's the way these people think. And that's scary. Because that means you got morons running things. You got morons that are like, oh no, we can do this. We're not going to get into World War III, which is going to get everybody nuked. We got this well in hand. Let's see. As I said, I got one more. I got one less listener supporter mailbag dragging out. See, this makes it easy for me. This is another thing I do enjoy. Y'all might think a listener supporter mailbag is something I don't like doing. I actually do like doing it. There's the Christian specific segment. And we find something to talk about. But the first part of the show, sometimes I'm just like, I don't even know what I'm going to talk about. This gives me prompting. GPD, it was good to hear from Sven on the latest Parish of the Patriots show. It never ceases to amaze me how humble and kind the man is. Even in the face of unjust persecution, he's just calm, cool, and like, well, I've never been to prison, so it'll be a new experience. I haven't caught the rest of the show. It's usually a weekend listen for me, but I had a minute to get the donation out, and in getting the Bitcoin ad, he saw the title and had to listen to the letter. I sent a letter out to him, so hopefully he gets it. I have to imagine snail mail across the pond will take some time. It's good to hear he is in good spirits. And despite everything, he's still Sven. Thank you again for all your hard work through this. It shows what kind of man you are and what kind of friend that you'd take all this on, despite knowing very little about the whole process. Your hard work helps so many people, myself included, and I can't thank you enough. I know you worry about the quality, but I haven't really noticed any change other than the other shows not being linked up and, of course, a missing host. Keep up the hard work, and we'll keep tuning in and telling more people about the site. Thank you. And that's from Drew, and I'm really humbled. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of things don't work on the site anymore. You know, I mean, no, I don't know how to do it, and I don't have the time. Now, I mean, I said earlier, you know, I do this or I am ready to do it. That don't mean that's all I got to do. I mean, like I say, I'm on my grind. I'm on my hustle. I'm trying to do something. I got things to take care of. I just, it's all I can do to do what I'm doing right now, man. Like, I mean, like at max. So I do appreciate it. And I do appreciate all y'all, because if everybody just quit listening, then this is a work in vain. So again, I do appreciate it. I know Sven appreciates it because he's going to get out at some point in time and quality will go back up. And I do worry about the problem. I don't half-ass any of this. I really don't. I don't phone a show in. You wouldn't believe, I'm not bragging, I'm like the opposite, I'm being humble. You wouldn't believe how many times I start to record a show and stop and start over because I'm like, this sounds like crap. Sometimes I will completely change the topic and start basically a whole nother thing. I don't phone them in. I do the best I can. And I know everybody else, Finn, when he's out, and Dr. Johnson as well, we all feel the same way as far as that goes. And again, all of y'all are part of that. Y'all aren't just a passive audience. You're talking about here, or listener talking about, you know, telling other people about it. You know, why it's Radio Albion. It's easier to share Radio Albion. People aren't going to tune into Radio Albion and see something that, you know, oh my gosh, this is some kind of weirdo site. We put out, you know, we do our best. And like I talked about earlier, you know, we're seeing more and more mainstream acceptable people talking about things like actual historical events in World War II. And again, just a few years ago, Dennis Wise, Finn and the likes were the only people, and a few others, were the only people doing that like at all. You know, and now you got, well, where did they find out about it? Where did they hear about it? At some point in time, they heard it from somewhere. And all the people have put in the work over the years, you start to see that bear a little bit of fruit. And the truth matters, and it does. It may not seem like it in this world filled with lies, but the truth really, really does matter. Every one of you, all of us, I know I say this to the point y'all tired of hearing it, but the most you can do, you have control over yourself, but it does affect the rest of the world around you. You may not understand, it's hard for all of us to understand how that works sometimes, but when you control, when you take responsibility for your own decisions and you take control of your life and make the best decisions you can and you work on yourself, and instead of getting all distracted and angry and frustrated because of the things around you that you have no control over, it does make a difference. Because when people do that, it starts becoming a collective thing. As I said several years ago, nobody talking about actual events in World War II. They were just happy to talk about, you know, Hitler, evil, Satan incarnate, and wanted to rule the world. And now you got more and more people going, well, actually, no, that's silly. Actually, he really didn't want war with Britain. He really thought Britain and America might would understand how, you know, the threat posed by the Soviet Union and come in and join with Germany on that front. The ridiculousness of Britain basically giving security guarantees to Poland. It matters. Because they're giving security guarantees to Poland all over again. And see, we got these morons that have no idea about history. Why these things matter? You have these morons running things now, and they have no concept of history. They think they're doing something brand new and original. They're giving security guarantees to Poland. It's the exact same thing. Oh, Russia wouldn't dare. Russia wouldn't dare. They talk about red lines. We're blowing those red lines off because they wouldn't dare. And a lot of it, as the saying goes, history doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it damn sure rhymes. And these people, you can rest assured, every one of you listening, probably most of you have been listening to work here on Radio Albion. Sven's put out, Dr. Johnson's put out, my commentary for whatever it's worth, Dennis Wise years ago put out. Y'all know, and all of y'all are very much more aware than these people who get paid all this money to supposedly, quote unquote, be in charge of things. Got any concept of history, you can look and see it's rhyming a lot right now. Basically talking about, oh, I read an article this morning. Poland wants NATO, that means the U.S., Britain, the likes, but it means the U.S. Poland wants them to put nukes on their soil. Now, it's all over again. It's always Poland. Bless you, Poland. Bless your heart. I know the people. You like all the rest of us. Your government just does what they do, and I get it. I really do, but bless your heart. It just, Poland. I don't understand how you could be Poland and have the history. Like, if you were in Poland, you would look back at how World War II worked out for you and trusting the likes of the British, who were like, oh, don't worry. Hitler would never dare invade you. We've got your back. And then turn around and be like, the U.S. is like, oh, don't worry. Russia would never dare invade you. We've got your back. All right. History. It's very important. Yeah, Poland posed a man where they want the U.S. to station nuclear bombers in Poland. What are we going to do? We're going to do the Cuban Missile Crisis all over again. We're going to have the Russians set up nuclear bombers in Cuba. I mean, is that where we're going with this? The Cuban Missile Crisis back in the 60s. And I dare to say the people in charge back then, whatever your personal opinions of them, you know, at that time, they're a lot more competent than these idiots we got now. They were, at least we had more or less competent people. I'm not saying they weren't corrupt or didn't have their failing. I'm not saying that, but they were more competent. Like Henry Kissinger, for all his faults, is obviously, even at 100 years old, way more competent than Anthony Blinken. I mean, that's just a observation. There's nobody competent here. I do. You look at these people. There's nobody competent. Oh, yeah, maybe we should put nukes in Poland. Of course, they're like, well, we're not doing that right now. But they don't stick with anything. And that's the other trap that we find ourselves. You know, how I believe is both Russia and China have said on some level or another that basically you can't make any deals with anybody in the U.S. because they'll change it like the next day on a whim. How do you deal with anybody like that? And that's kind of a trap. And we'd all like to avert World War III. I would. I really don't want to go through World War III. I don't think it's going to be fun. And, you know, there's nobody to make an agreement with. When you look at things from the other side's perspective, you can't make a deal with them. If they came forward and said, look, we want to end the Ukraine conflict now, Russia, the U.S. came forward and said, look, we're going to end this. We're going to give you this guarantee and that guarantee. And all y'all got to do is just stop everything. We'll freeze the conflict, whatever the case. Nobody can trust that, though, because they're liars. And everybody on the planet now knows they're liars. I mean, the U.S. has always been pretty much, you can't trust anything they agree to. Ask the Indians, feather, not dot. They'd sign these treaties and then, like, you know, oh, we changed our mind, we want that land now. You can't trust the government. But I mean, they used to be somewhat, you know, you could at least more or less, like, it'll be a little while before they tear it up and go on and do whatever they want to. Now it's like the next day. The Chinese were complaining about that at one point. They said, we'll go out and talk to y'all. And y'all say, yep. Okay, yeah, that sounds good. And then the same day, y'all will go out to the media and say the exact opposite. We cannot trust you. And that's the trap. How do you turn all of this around? How do you avert World War III when one side cannot trust a word that comes out of the mouth of the other side? This presents a real, tangible problem. This was really highlighted, one of the worst things I think Donald Trump did. Regardless of what you think about it, one of the worst things Donald Trump did that really set the precedent for this was tearing up the Iran nuclear deal that Obama had put into place. Regardless of what you thought about that deal, it was irrelevant, because the bigger issue beyond that is the fact that just a couple years earlier, the U.S. signed this agreement. Everybody has agreed to it. Everybody's on board. This is agreement. Good, bad, ugly, in between. You've got to honor your agreements. And then just a few short years later, Trump gets into office and says, yeah, we're not doing that, and shreds it up and throws it out because it's a bad deal. Well, whether it is or not, even if it's a bad deal, what you're losing here is people being able to trust you for anything, because now you find yourself, we find ourselves in this situation that we're in now, where nobody can negotiate in good faith with the U.S. because they will change their mind in a matter of days, hours, much less years. How do you make any kind of agreement on that? So you have to always come at it with the standpoint of, well, they're lying. We can't trust them that they want to stop the conflict. And this leads you closer and closer to, you know, escalation. Well, things are already escalating to things that are unthinkable, like preemptive attacks. If you can't trust your opponent, if you can't trust your opposition on the world stage from a government standpoint, you're in this military conflict with the U.S., and it's what it is. They sit here and play these magical word games like, oh, no, we're not really. You see, we're just supplying arms, men. But they're private mercenaries. They're not official soldiers. Well, we do have official soldiers there, but they're not technically at the front lines, but they kind of are. They're trying to play all these magical word games. When you got an opponent like this, it's obviously you're at war with, and you're not going to be able to, it's not going to be possible to come to an agreement diplomatically and sign a treaty, because whatever they agree to, as soon as they think they have an advantage, they'll tear it up and just come back around and stab you in the back. Then at some point in time, you have to start considering things like, well, maybe a nuclear decapitation of this regime and somebody else can get in there that maybe is more trustworthy. Maybe that's an option that should be on the table. I'm saying that's what they're doing, but I'm saying, you know, that'd be something that would realistically, I think, have to be considered. That really, I mean, we see these dangerous policies being these provocations that the government is doing around the world, and it's frightening. But what most people, I think, in my humble opinion, what most people miss, the more dangerous thing is the fact that these people lie continually, and everybody knows this. You can't negotiate your way out of it. Because there's nobody trustworthy. They're all liars. And they're stupid. They actually believe the slogans that they say. When you get into the Christian specific segment, we're going to keep on rolling without even missing a breath. You know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. I thought we'd start off this week with reading a couple verses out of the Bible as a starting point. We're going to look in the book of Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start with verses 22 through 24. Everything we read today, by the way, is Jesus speaking. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, there here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And then we're going to skip over and go to verses 45 through 47. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall be made ruler over all his goods. Now, as you probably guess from our reading today, we're going to have some mental exercise. I thought we'd do some mental exercises this week, talking about the end times and basically about the world around us and these days that we live in, because they are they're very troubling. We're in a tribulation and things are obviously extremely crazy. And, you know, we're, of course, as Christian believers, attempting to navigate our way through this. Now, as you know, I'm not big on this whole thing like evangelicals and such do, you know, getting so caught up and obsessed with, you know, Judgment Day and the return of Jesus. And of course, you know how I feel about the idiotic rapture thing. And we'll probably get into that a little bit more as well. But we look at the world around us. In these same passages, Jesus said, you know, you look around while we don't know the day or the hour. He says, you look around. And another part he talks about, you know, you can look at the weather and you can tell, oh, it's going to be hot today. Or you look and say, oh, it's going to rain today. And this, in another section of what we skipped over, he talks about when you look at the fig tree, you can tell when the leaves are tender. In other words, he says, yeah, you don't know the exact day or the hour, but you can look around And you can get an idea that things are getting pretty close. And I think he's giving us a true hint here of how you're supposed to interpret these things. You're not going to know that on, you know, when you have these people come out and you'll hear about these people, usually some kind of cult people, and they'll be like, you know, on June 24th, 2024, the world's going to end. And of course it never does. The climate people, yeah, they like that too, because they're a whole nother religion. If we don't address global warming by 2012, New York City's going to be underwater. And here Al Gore went and got our hopes up, and nothing happened. We don't know the day and the hour, obviously, and Jesus told us we wouldn't know that. But he also told us the way to interpret these things is you look around at things, and you can get a feel that things are closer than they are. And I believe that's the way, you know, to look at these things. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the prophets of God that are slain, and the whole world looks on as they leave their bodies laid out, and the whole world looks on after they've been killed. Well, in times past, how would the whole world look on if it was happening in one place? How would everybody in the whole world look on? But now we have, you know, live stream the murder of the prophets. And of course, they will do that. You know, they could put it on TV and beam it around the world. Again, it's not to read it too literally, but it's to understand the time and the season, to understand that what season we're in and what time that we're in. Now, as I said earlier, I wanted to kind of do this as a mental exercise, because this is a mental exercise I was doing. And as a mental exercise, don't read too much into it, is what I'm saying. Don't try to be too literal with it. This is just exercise your faith. And I do believe in that. You know, we know that, for instance, are those who push this wicked political agenda that we're under, you know, they demand complete compliance. They demand, you know, that nobody be allowed. They demand censorship so that nobody be allowed to question them, because their views cannot hold up to any sort of questioning. But of course, we all know that's extremely unhealthy. As a Christian believer, I'm always doing these mental exercises, and I'm thinking about what if, and what if you read this to be this way, you know, and you viewed it in this context. And honestly, sometimes I take those things after going through them and going, yeah, that's not right. And I pitch them out and I just move on. And I think we should, as believers, we should be confident enough in our faith to be able to do those things, you know, to look at things and to look at them from a fresh perspective and ask ourselves, what if it means this? So again, this is just kind of a mental exercise. I don't want to read too much into it, but I do think there's something to be learned from it. That's why I thought we would kind of go through it. Now, we're told in the Bible that, you know, for the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. I don't believe that's meant to be read literally. I believe what they're conveying to us here is that, you know, obviously God exists outside of the temporal realm. He exists outside of time. So you can't attach a day, you know, a temporal element to what he does. Yet in the Bible, when it comes to things God does, we are given a temporal, you know, a temporal layout. Well, why is that? Well, so that we can understand that there is a certain order in which God does things. He does this first, and then he's going to do this, viewed from our perspective. But again, we have to realize that God exists outside of the realm of time. And I believe that's what that passage is conveying to us. Now, as a mental exercise, though, strictly as a mental exercise, let's read that a little more literally. If you said a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day, well, then, you know, looking at this as we're in the last days, how far would we be along? Well, we would be a little over two days. We would be a little over 2 days into the last days if you applied 1,000 years equals a day. And now, here's where the interesting thought comes in mind. How long was Jesus in the tomb before he was resurrected? Because when you talk about the end days, last days, you know, what are we talking about? Ultimately, the return of Christ, the resurrection, when the dead are risen and we see all of this happening. How long was it until the first resurrection? Jesus was what, 3 days? And then he was raised from the dead. Now, as a mental exercise, if you made it 1,000 years is like a day, we're a little over day two. So we're like 2/3 of the way there. Now, I think this is important because when you read enough of the Bible, you really start to understand that God does things in an orderly fashion. There are patterns that these things follow. They're patterns that God does things in. I think one of the things that's so amazing, that's revealing that God has created this world and we live in a world created by the Lord, is the way in which math and numbers and things, everything makes mathematical sense. There's nothing in this world that's just random. Non-believers will sit there and convince themselves and try to convince you that the world all just came together by happenstance. But math proves that incorrect. They always want you to argue with them so they can sit there and get you bogged down in these pointless debates. But math proves that viewpoint to be nonsensical. If the world simply is a chaotic thing that happened by pure happenstance, came into being, then math doesn't make any sense. The fact that everything in this world that we physically interact with, everything in the temporal realm that we interact with, can be summed up, can be put into a mathematical equation. These are signs that God has given. It says, even if you didn't have this, even if you didn't have the Bible, you would have to if you understood math, you would understand that somebody, some entity had to have created this thing because it makes too much sense. Everything can come out to a mathematical equation. That doesn't point to things being created happenstance, just all on their own, just purely chaotic. And somehow out of all of this chaos, things just sort of fell into place. And here we are. Also, as you read through the Bible, you understand that there are mathematical or numerical, there's numerical importance in the things that the Lord does. You read in the Old Testament, for instance, like when Solomon's building the Lord's temple, there are all these just, it will be this long and this high and this, I mean, there are these just, it's gotta be this certain way. Do I understand all of the reasons why that is? No, I don't. Maybe somebody does, and good on them. I'm going to be upfront. I don't know, but I do know it's important because it's laid out there. It's got to be this long, this wide. Numbers play an extremely important role in the Bible. And likewise, you look at the numbers, God follows these patterns. Jesus was in the in the grave for 3 days, not 2 days, not 4 days. There is a reason. There is a reason he was in the grave 3 days and then resurrected. That is an important number. It follows a pattern. Now, it is funny to think of it. If you read the 1,000 days is a day is like 1,000 years. I'll spit it out here in a minute. If you read that for a moment as more literally, we would be on day two. Now, you look at that and you'd be like, well, yeah, but that means we're another, 800-900 years away from day three. And you're looking around at crazy clown world and it's like, I know we don't know the day or the hour, but I don't see this going on another 800 or 900 years. But then you look at what we just read a minute ago. Had he not cut the days short, he cut the days short. If you went on vacation and you told everybody, I'm going on vacation, I'm going to go out to the desert. I'm going to go to New Mexico to the desert. I'm going to spend 2 weeks in the desert. And you go off and you take off. You're going to spend 14 days in the desert, but your vacation got cut short and you had to come back. What does that mean? Well, how long? It means that you weren't there for 14 days. You were intended to be there. You're supposed to be there for 14 days, but you were only there for 7, for 6, 10. I don't know. But the term "it was cut short" tells you very plainly that you weren't in the desert for 14 days. Jesus said, had he not cut those days short, I believe this relates to us that the days were supposed to be so long. And for our mental exercise, we're saying 3,000 years from the time of the first resurrection. But he cut those days short. Now, we don't know how short he cut them. But Jesus said plainly, had he not cut those days short, no flesh would be saved. So he had to cut the days short. It was supposed to be this long, but they're cut short. We don't know how short. Now, it all kind of makes a little more sense, doesn't it, where we're at right now. If we look at it this way, then we're not looking at another 800 or 900 years because we know we cut the day short. We don't know how short, but we do know if we applied this, that we're little past day two on a 3-day pattern. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of all, it kind of all falls into place. Now, I said we don't want to read too much into this. And why is that? It's interesting and it's fun. We're supposed to try to understand the world around us. But at the end of the day, apart from just simply understanding the world around us, at the end of the day, it more or less doesn't matter. And let's talk about why that is. Now, I kind of touched earlier on the evangelicals and the ridiculous rapture nonsense. You'll have these people, and they have this idea that they're going to do certain things and encourage certain things and promote government policies because that is going to hurry up. They're going to get Jesus to hurry up and return. Of course, there is no rapture. I've said this multiple times for long-time listeners. Long-time members of the congregation know how I feel about the rapture. There's nothing based anywhere in the Bible that supports the rapture idea. I've never read anything or seen anything or heard anyone present a real argument, a biblical-based argument that says, no, look, here in the Bible, this is where it says a rapture. That is not going to happen. I don't even understand where that comes from. I think it's just come. Well, I kind of do. People want to comfort themselves. They want to believe that they read about all these troubling times, and they want to believe that they're not going to have to go through any of that. Well, in a lot of ways, they aren't, because, again, in the same section we read, it says that a lot of people are going to be going about their day like they usually do. People be marrying and giving in marriage, just like in the days of Noah, people are going about their life when the flood came. A lot of these so-called believers, they're just really, at the end of the day, they're just following along. They're not making waves, they're just going along with the world. But they read about these troubling times, and they want to believe that they themselves won't ever have to go through that, you see, because Jesus is going to suck them up to heaven or whatever, the rapture out of here. Of course, that's nonsense. These people, a lot of these people would sit there and believe that if we do this, this, or this, we can make Jesus hurry up and come back. And that, of course, is a horrible, arrogant way. You're going to make Jesus do anything. God will do things in the time that he has appointed. When you hear supposed Christian believers talk about, you know, we need to do this, you know, we can hasten the return of the Lord. No, you're not. He'll come when he's ready to come. You're not going to get him. The idea that you're going to somehow manipulate events and you're going to manipulate God into doing what you want him to do, that's a dangerous and arrogant viewpoint to have. Likewise, a lot of these people have this viewpoint. They basically, they're like the man in the parable that buried his gold and didn't do anything with it. And when the master returned, dug it up and said, there you go. They sit on their hands and they don't do anything to further their faith or the faith of others. They sit on their hands. They're basically, they don't do anything to try to better the world around them. They sit and they do nothing, and they're waiting for Jesus to return and fix everything for them. This is the opposite of what we're supposed to do. And this gets to why I say at the end of the day, it doesn't matter why, beyond just understanding the world around us. For you personally, it doesn't matter. Because one, you're not going to make any, you don't have any way to make any of this around you happen on a different time frame or to change the actions of other people, for much less manipulate the Lord into doing something sooner rather than later. You have control over yourself. Understand the resurrection, the judgment day is coming for you. It is coming in your lifetime, or to put it more correctly, it is coming at the end of your lifetime. People sit around. I laugh when people are obsessed with, and they sit around looking around like, you know, is today the day? Is Jesus coming today? You know, It says that we don't know the hour and the time. And like when you're kids, you know, they make you think that, you know, you better be on your best behavior. You don't want Jesus to come back and catch you messing up. It's like Jesus is going to pop up right behind you. Bam, you're caught. Like he wouldn't know what you was doing anyway. The resurrection, judgment day, if you would, is coming at the end of your life. And that is sooner than you think it is. So in other words, understand you will see it. When you pass off of this realm, when you slough off this husk that you're walking around in right now, you're going to see it because you leave the temporal realm and now time doesn't exist. Time no longer exists. It's hard to wrap your mind around being in an existence where time isn't a thing. It's a shame. When people spend their lives looking around like, you know, is Jesus coming back today? Like when they die, they've missed it, but you're not. When you die, you get to see it. Yes, it's going to happen in this realm, and we're going to touch on that here in just a minute, but it's going to happen in the temporal realm at some point. But understand, when your life ends, and the older you get, the more you realize that it's coming sooner rather than later. You are going to see it because in that moment, you leave the temporal realm yourself and you enter into the eternal realm where the Lord exists outside of time. And now you see everything and you will see that day. So it is coming for you personally. You will see it. When you get rid of this husk that you're walking around in, you're going to see it because you leave this temporal realm. I wanted to kind of back off here a little bit and understand, you know, because Jesus talks about when he does return, and don't get deceived. It's going to be a sudden thing. Don't listen when they're telling you, oh, Jesus is over here. Oh, look, he's in the desert. Go see him. Oh, look, he's over in this room. He says, don't get caught up. He said, when I return, you're going to know it. Everybody going to know it when I come back. Let's look at that for a minute. I think it's important. I have this hint that, and this isn't some sort of godly revelation or anything. Me personally, myself, my mind, I have a hint. Let me put it this way. I would not be at all surprised, and I kind of half expect, we're going to have a return of Jesus hoax. We got all of these hoaxes going on. We got all these hoaxes going. We got the climate change hoax. We've done, you know, the deadly virus and put a diaper on your face hoax. We've had all the just nonstop hoaxing. I do believe that at some point in time, we're going to get a return of Jesus hoax. And I do believe that's backed up by what we've read or what's here in the Bible. And they're going to say, oh, he's over here. Go, don't listen to him. Jesus said, don't listen to him. Believe me, when I come back, you're going to know. There's not going to be any doubt. I suspect we're going to get a return of Jesus hoax. And I kind of think, and again, this is me personally. Don't read too much into it. This is just me personally. I expect they're going to tie it to like this alien nonsense. I do. I think you're going to get here are the aliens, and that was Jesus all along. It was the space aliens. Here's Jesus. It's alien space Jesus. And look at here, space Jesus. Go follow space Jesus. And a lot of people are going to get tricked. We're told a lot of people are going to get tricked by the Antichrist, by this idea, this false Christ idea. And I think I do. My personal suspicion is just me. I think it's going to be an alien hoax. I think they're going to come up with space Jesus. And they're going to have all these plausible sounding explanations. We're told the Antichrist is going to create all of these, you know, going to do these miracles and convince everybody, yep, this is it. Space Jesus was Jesus all along. The aliens was Jesus. The aliens were Muhammad. The aliens were Buddha. You see, all of the religions, they're all one thing. And they were all space aliens. Just, again, that's my personal opinion. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen. And I think it's more than plausible. But how are you not going to get tricked? And this is what's important. Jesus said when you return, be like lightning flashing over here in one part of the sky, showing up over here. What does that mean? When Jesus returns, I always, you know, we talk about the temporal realm versus the eternal realm, where we exist versus where God exists. This is important. This isn't just my opinion. This is my true belief, and I'm sharing it with you because I do think this is very important. When Jesus returns, you talk about lightning flashing across the sky. Understand, the purpose of Jesus returning is to end this time that we're in. In other words, I always think of the temporal realm that we exist in. One of the ways I visualize it in my head is like we're in a glass case. You know, we're in this glass case, and God exists outside of the glass case. Again, this is just to visualize and make it easier for my mind to wrap itself around. In the temporal realm, we're in this glass case. You think everybody talks about it, they think God's way off somewhere. Where's heaven? Way off. No, it's not. It's all around us. We're just in this case. We're in this glass case. The eternal realm is all around us because time doesn't exist there. We're just stuck in the case. Now, for the purpose of that visualization, I hope I don't sound like a whack job. You'll be like, Grandpa Dan, I'm gone off the rail. Bear with me, because this is important so that you don't get deceived. When Jesus returns, he's taking a hammer to the glass case. No matter when they come up with space Jesus or whatever form their Antichrist comes, the beast comes to deceive everybody. If you look around, it's going to be convincing. Imagine they bring somebody up and space alien Jesus does a miracle, and now this transgender all of a sudden actually has a womb and can bear children and be like, oh my gosh, it's got to be Jesus. There's going to be a lot of people. It's going to pull a lot of stuff off. If you look around and time, the temporal realm still exists, that ain't Jesus. That's how you're going to know. I don't care what kind of miracles they pull off. I don't care what kind of extremely plausible explanations they roll out. I don't care if the space aliens whip it out and they got film of it all going on and this explains everything. If you look around and time still exists, that ain't Jesus. When Jesus returns, he's taking a hammer to the glass case of time, and boom, it's all going to end. That is why it says you're going to see it when that time comes, you're going to see the dead all of a sudden get up and start walking around. Well, that doesn't make any sense. How if somebody died 500 years ago, their bodies don't even exist anymore. They've long turned to dust and they're gone. Somebody drowned in the ocean in a shipwreck, you know, 100 years ago, their body is completely dissolved. How are you going to see the dead get up and walking around? Because time will cease to exist. When Jesus returns, time will cease to, he's going to take a hammer to this realm of time as we know it. And this gets into creating a new heaven, a new earth. We're not going that far today in our mental exercise. He's going to destroy the temporal realm. I don't care how convincing space alien Jesus or whatever the hell they roll out. I don't care how convincing it is. I don't care what kind of miracles they pull off. And it says a lot of people are going to be deceived. This is when you're going to weed down and get to who is in the elect, because it's going to be convincing. If you look around and the temporal realm, as you know it, still exists, we're still going day by day, time, in this linear time fashion that we're in now, that ain't Jesus. I don't care what kind of miracles they do. Ain't Jesus. When Jesus returns, time will cease to exist. He will take a hammer to the glass case. Time will cease. That's why you're going to see the dead, because now time doesn't exist. And now you're going to see the dead. I do believe there's so much of the Bible that people don't understand can be more easily understood if you wrap your mind around and understand that God doesn't exist in time like we do. Now you understand, the devil, we're told that Satan was cast down to the earth. What does that mean? He was put in the box with us. He was cast out of the eternal realm. It says he's raging. He rages because he knows his time is short. See, if he was in the eternal realm, time wouldn't be short because time wouldn't apply to him. He gets cast into the box and his time is short. So that is why when they roll out their space alien Jesus or whatever they roll out with, time is going to continue to exist because he's still stuck in the temporal realm. It's going to be of Satan. It's going to be a deception. Now, again, I said earlier to kind of roll this back, I kind of got off from our train of thought. Understand you will see the judgment day and it's going to happen. One way that whether it happens before you officially shuck this carcass or when you do. But you know, I'm well in my 50s now. I'm way past halfway there and it's gone by really fast. If you're young, you think, oh, well, that's way off. The older you get, the more you realize it's closer and you get to understand that you were going to see it. When you slip it, all of a sudden, the eternal, you escape the temporal realm. And then all this stuff is going to just suddenly, your physical mind can't really, I don't believe like this physical, your brain, not your mind, but your physical brain can't process it all. If that makes sense. It can't process. All of a sudden, everything's going to be known. And it's just going to blow you away. It's going to be mind-blowing, as they say. But you will see it. Because when you leave this world, you enter into the realm where time doesn't exist anymore. So now all of a sudden, voila, we're at Judgment Day. It's coming. And what does Jesus say when he returns? He doesn't say, when I return, you know, I want to find the people that are sitting around doing nothing. I want to find the people who are sitting around just waiting on me and anxious for me to return. He doesn't say I'm going to be so, when the master returns, he's going to be so happy to see the servants laying out in the yard going, hey, there you are. Here, let me get you a beer. The master should return and find the servants what? Doing the work that they're supposed to do. That's why I said, at the end of the day, don't get obsessed with it. Because our job, your control over yourself personally, that's all we have. What's your job in this? Not to change the world around you. How you conduct yourself. How do you conduct yourself? You got to be doing the work that God has set out for you to do. That's all. If Jesus comes back right now while you're listening to this show, takes a hammer to the temporal realm, he's going to find you doing what you're supposed to, you personally, doing what you're supposed to do. And he'll be pleased with that. He didn't say you've got to change the world. He didn't say you've got to convince everybody to go, you know, to accept Jesus as your Lord and say you've got to just be doing the work that you're supposed to be doing. If he comes back and finds you, you almost didn't notice he was there because you got your head down and you're working. He'll be pleased with that. At the end of the day, that's what you need to do. You just go about your day. You just got to do the work that you're supposed to be doing. And you're right. You'll be fine. You can't look at all of these things and get overwhelmed with them like you were somehow supposed to be manipulating events and changing the world around you and making people do this and stopping all of this wickedness and evil from transpiring and happening when you yourself do not have the power to do that. Jesus didn't tell you you're supposed to do that. But you are supposed to be doing what you can do. What work do you have to do? What you can do. You have control over yourself. You're doing what you can in the world around you. That's it. That's why I say at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because you're supposed to be doing what you can do. When the master shows up, he's going to find, if you do that, when the master shows up, when Jesus returns, he's going to find you in the middle of doing what you're supposed to do. He's not going to scold you and say, how come the world's such a mess? And here you are, you weren't successful. That's not, we're doing what we're supposed to do. Even if everybody around us says it's pointless, if everybody around us says you're wasting your time, everybody around you says, well, you're just crazy. Space Jesus has showed up and you're still talking about waiting for Jesus and he's right there. Didn't you see the miracles he performed on TV? It was on the internet. Space Jesus performed all these miracles and you're still talking about that ain't him. You waiting for real Jesus. You crazy. You just keep your head down. Don't worry about all them. Just keep your head down. It's going to cut the day short. Otherwise, everybody's going to get deceived. You get to keep your head down. Keep working. Keep working on what you got to do. We're going to wrap up on that note. Hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it. I've said this before, but these things, Jesus, the Lord purposely didn't make them too complicated. You know, and sometimes I feel like it's hard to come up with stuff to discuss to be interesting, because really the basic concepts of what we do and how we live our lives, they're not that complicated. The Lord didn't set up this really difficult puzzle for us to solve in order to find our salvation. We find our salvation and then we start working on the puzzle to better understand the Lord and the world around us. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed. I hope you enjoyed all of the show, and I hope you can check out all of our great content Monday through Friday on Radio Albion, whether it's what I'm putting out or what Dr. Johnson's putting out. We're all putting our best effort forward, and we do appreciate all of you continuing to tune in, and all of you continuing to support Sven, and all of you continuing to support our work here at Radio Albion. So hopefully we'll see you next week, next Tuesday, right here for the Parish of the Patriots.